Southwest grounds 43 planes for immediate safety inspections. For the first time in 5 years, EADS posts a loss. And NASA is concerned about debris spotted during Endeavour's liftoff. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 13th, 2008. Southwest Airlines appears to be moving aggressively to respond to a $10 million FAA fine and allegations it flew dozens of its older Boeing 737s without required safety inspections. Want to get away? Both the airline and Boeing assured the public on Monday that safety had not been compromised. But in an internal audit conducted Tuesday, Southwest says it, quote, discovered an ambiguity related to required testing, unquote. Of 44 aircraft identified as having uncertain inspection records, one was already retired from service, five were already in the shop for maintenance and inspections. 38 others were grounded pending inspection, requiring the cancellation of 4% of Southwest's Wednesday schedule. The required inspections reportedly take 90 minutes per aircraft. Southwest says it expects a return to a normal schedule on Thursday, but cautions the ongoing internal review may result in other operational changes. Southwest says it has also placed three employees on paid leave, pending the results of internal and federal reviews. CEO Gary Kelly said on Wednesday, quote, again, we are mindful that during Southwest's 37-year proud history, we have safely transported the population of the United States, every man, woman, and child, 4.5 times over. This is a fact. We have been a safe company. I believe we are a safe company. I am committed to making sure we become safer still, unquote. The European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company reported a loss of $684 million for 2007. That's its first loss in 5 years. At the top of the problem list was EADS Airbus Division, which Reuters reports lost $1.35 billion for the year. CEO Louis Gallois blamed the company's ongoing Power 8 restructuring program and the continued devaluation of the U.S. dollar. EADS also suffered costly delays in development of its A400M military turboprop transport and the upcoming Airbus A350 XWB commercial airliner. In brighter news, the company did trim fourth quarter losses compared to last year, and while some pain is still expected in 2008, the company is already bragging about the KC-45A. In its press release, EADS says, quote, improvements across the board and our recent success on the U.S. defense market point to a promising start into 2008, unquote. Let's see if that recent success withstands a 100-day GAO audit and a full-scale political attack. Engineers at NASA are doing a frame-by-frame review of debris, which may have hit the nose of the space shuttle Endeavour Tuesday morning, just 10 seconds into its mission. It's not clear yet whether the object was a bird or something else, but Flight Director Mike Moses told the Associated Press that by tonight, they'll at least know its trajectory and where it came from. For now, Moses says, quote, it looks like it's not coming from the orbiter, and you really can't tell if it strikes the orbiter or not. I can't even begin to speculate on what it could be, unquote. As the shuttle approached the International Space Station for docking last night, cameras on the station got a close-up look at the shuttle. Mission officials will analyze those pictures for any signs of damage. Avadyne has scored another STC for its Integra Integrated Flight Deck System. Avadyne and Southern Star Avionics LLC of Mobile, Alabama, are ready now to retrofit Envision into as many as 5,000 Cessnas, including the 414A and other variants of the 401, 402, 414, and 421. Avadyne says Envision modernizes the popular Cessna piston twins with leading-edge situational awareness and safety systems and the industry's easiest-to-use integrated flight deck. Tom Greer, the president of Southern Star Aviation, says, quote, the market potential for Envision on the Cessna 400 series is extraordinary. Avadyne has terrific products that our customers find easy to use and that enhance the value of their aircraft, unquote. Retail pricing begins at about $35,000 for the EXP-5000 primary flight display with STC kit and $17,000 more for the radar-capable EX-5000 multifunction display. Options include the TAS-600 traffic advisory system, the MLB-700 broadcast data link weather, and the TWX-670 tactical lightning detection. And is it me, or is the term Cessna 400 series to describe a line of twin-engine piston planes a little confusing now that there's a piston single called the Cessna 400? Methinks we need a nomenclature continuity consultant. Up next on ANN, U.S. Airways pilots vote next week to decertify the ALPA. The GAO says the Joint Strike Fighter's price is ballooning. And Taylor Craft owners are orphans once again. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 13th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. In just a few days, pilots for U.S. Airways begin voting to either continue a 57-year tradition of representation by the Airline Pilots Association or break with ALPA and go with the newly formed U.S. Airline Pilots Association. The impetus for the vote was the combination of America West and U.S. Airways workforces in the 2005 merger between the companies, and ALPA's backing of a seniority list, which pilots of the old U.S. Airways believe treated them unfairly. Instead of becoming a cohesive team, the former America West pilots call themselves the West. The East pilots, holdovers from the old U.S. Airways, say ALPA sold them out in not fighting the arbitrator's ruling, hence the call for a new union. Jack Steffen, who was re-elected last week to a second two-year term as chairman of the U.S. Airways ALPA chapter, believes many East pilots will get past their emotions and make a logical decision to stay with ALPA. He tells TheStreet.com, quote, "Pilots have been trained to make ice-cold, calculating decisions. If an engine conks out, you first come out with a bunch of expletives, but then you remove the emotion and methodically follow the checklist," unquote. U.S. APA Chairman Stephen Bradford predicts a win, saying ALPA representation of U.S. Airways pilots is tied to failed national policies. Quote, "I believe we are going to prevail, although I don't think it'll be a landslide," unquote. Voting begins on March 20th and will take 4 weeks. Pentagon officials are disputing a report from the Government Accountability Office which claims the Joint Strike Fighter program is at risk of overrunning its originally projected costs by as much as 45%. The GAO told Congress on Tuesday costs for the JSF, which is already the most expensive weapons program of all time, is now expected to cost another $38 billion beyond previous estimates. That would bring the total for the 2,458 planes planned to $337 billion, up from the $240 billion budgeted in 2001. Michael J. Sullivan, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management for the Government Accountability Office, told the House Armed Services Committee, quote, "Midway through development, the program is over cost and behind schedule," unquote. Sullivan says Lockheed Martin and the Department of Defense are preparing a revised total for development, quote, "expected to be much larger than what is now budgeted," unquote. John J. Young Jr., the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, told the Washington Post he disagrees with the GAO. He says the Pentagon will need a modest increase, but did not specify an exact figure. Young blamed budget overruns on an otherwise good company, which has been late with some work, and, quote, "this has been a well-planned and reasonably well-executed program," unquote. Lockheed Martin so far has declined comment. It's no doubt been tough for Taylor Craft fans to see the type certificates bouncing from owner to owner. Now, Taylor Craft 2000 LLC, which owned the Taylor Craft TCs from May 2000 to August 2003, has announced it has repossessed the company's assets from Taylor Craft Aviation LLC. According to the notice last week, Taylor Craft is back on the block and priced for a quick sale at $750,000. D&E Aircraft will temporarily relocate the assets to Lake Worth, Florida, where the company will provide parts to T-Craft owners. Unfortunately, the changes come at a bad time, for any owner who paid Taylor Craft Aviation LLC about $3,500 for new, sealed OEM lift struts to replace older style struts facing corrosion issues covered in a 2007 airworthiness directive. J. Scott Ruffner, who is managing the repossession of the company, says buyers who got stiffed by the former owners may be able to get relief from their credit card companies. Quote, anyone out there who has paid for a set of struts and has not been contacted by me should call me right away, unquote. Here's that number. You can reach Ruffner at 561-547-7931. NAV Canada is moving well ahead of the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration in implementing ADS-B technology in its airspace system. The privatized air traffic management agency says it's expanding its contract with ground infrastructure provider Sensis to include deployment along the Labrador and Baffin Island coasts. ADS-B is a satellite-based technology, much more precise than traditional radar. It allows equipped aircraft to beacon their own positions even when they're not in radar coverage areas. The added ground stations along the Canadian coast will offer sufficient accuracy and reliability to enable reduced lateral separation, even for transatlantic air traffic. Sensis pioneered the development and implementation of ADS-B and now claims over 1,300 multi-lateration ADS-B sensors deployed worldwide. Still ahead, the DC ADIS is smaller, but pilots keep busting it. Indonesia records yet another airline accident. And the inventor of TCAS has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 13, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. Even after its size was reduced last year, the Washington, D.C. Air Defense Identification Zone apparently is still big enough to ensnare careless general aviation pilots. Early Wednesday afternoon, for the second time in 7 days, a small aircraft entering the ADIS embarrassed general aviation by making national headlines. The incursion had some staffers evacuating Capitol Hill offices. According to CNN, Representative Bart Stupak was speaking at a House Energy Subcommittee hearing at 12:25 p.m. Eastern Time when he told committee participants, quote, we have an air code yellow, meaning a plane is in our airspace, unquote. Two F-16s reportedly intercepted the small plane, said to be a Cessna, and directed its pilot to land in Leesburg, Virginia, and wait to speak with officials there. Other news reports state the plane's pilot was directed away from the ADIS by the visual warning system in place around the Capitol. VWS is a ground-based system that uses safety-tested low-level beams of alternating green and red lights to alert pilots that they're flying without approval in designated airspace. As ANN reported, last Wednesday, F-16s intercepted a twin-engine Beechcraft in the ADIS and ordered that plane's pilot to land in Richmond. The Associated Press reports Indonesia's Adam Air has had another accident. This time, a Boeing 737-400 skidded off a runway at Batam while landing in a heavy rainstorm. AP says five of the 170 passengers suffered head and neck injuries, and the plane was severely damaged. The airline says the plane was in good condition at the time of its last inspection in December and blames the weather. The airport counters that conditions at the airport were safe for landing. The rest of the world blames substandard training, maintenance, and regulation for Indonesia's terrible safety record. Adam Air and Garuda Indonesian Airlines have, between them, had three accidents in which planes were lost or severely damaged in just over a year, with 123 fatalities. The entire nation's aviation industry is denied landing rights in the European Union, and the FAA has warned U.S. travelers to avoid Indonesian carriers. ANN has learned that the father of TCAS recently passed away, as in Traffic and Collision Avoidance System. George Litchford was a prolific inventor. He was hired by Sperry Gyroscope Research Labs in 1941 and tasked with finding an automatic way to alert pilots to nearby air traffic. It was Litchford who had the inspiration to calculate in-cockpit data about nearby aircraft from the radar transponder signals by which they communicate with ground-based radar. It was decades before the skies would become busy enough to create an outcry for the device, but in August of 1986, an Aeromexico DC-9 and a Piper Archer collided over Cerritos, California, killing 67 passengers on the two planes and 15 more people on the ground. Congress then came under enough pressure to mandate TCAS. Today, the warning system is required by the FAA in all U.S. turbine-powered aircraft with more than 30 seats or having a maximum gross takeoff weight over 33,000 pounds. Industry safety consultant John Cox told the New York Times that Litchford, quote, was an industry leader in developing one of the most significant aviation safety systems ever designed, unquote. Litchford also was awarded a patent for a system in which ground stations use aircraft transponder signals to track aircraft movement. He licensed that technology to Megadata, the company now known as Passer, which uses 90 ground stations worldwide to provide tracking data to the airlines. George Litchford passed away February 28th at age 89 after a 60-year career as an inventor. We're all safer for his work. Finally, just when airport security screeners probably think they've seen it all, the Associated Press reports a 62-year-old woman traveling with a 63-year-old friend was stopped at the Munich airport after baggage handlers found her luggage contained an entire human skeleton sealed in a plastic bag. The women were traveling to Naples, Italy, from Brazil. Airport police pulled the women aside for questioning. The woman with the bones explained that she was simply honoring the last request of her deceased brother to be buried in Italy. The man died in Sao Paulo, Brazil, 12 years ago. And so, after showing security officials the appropriate papers, the women were allowed to continue on their way, bag of bones and all. But only because they weren't carrying more than 100 milliliters of shampoo. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with Pat Murphy of Pro Aero Solutions and Paul Whetstone of Interceptor Aircraft, who's selling the Myers Aircraft Company, including the type certificates for the 200 and I-400 series. These guys will fill us in on the company's rich history and tell us why the aircraft were way ahead of their times. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.